All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor. Because of my need to travel to Portugal this week, today's show was pre-recorded with both of my guests being recorded on September 10th. Those guests, who you will hear from shortly, are Nolan Watson, the CEO of Sandstorm Gold, and Thomas Coughlin, the CEO of Allocated Bullion Exchange. Before I talk more about today's show, let me remind you that I am the editor of Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and you can subscribe to my newsletter by going to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com. I would also like to encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? You can do so by going to chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com. An enviable track record, especially in the biotech sector, where he has some very exciting things developing right now. I want to thank each of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows of the Voice America Business Channel, and I also want to invite you to keep your questions, comments, criticisms, and praises coming along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4taylor@gmail.com. I also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. This week's sponsors are RN Resources, Genesis Metals Corp., Great Bear Resources, Klondike Gold Corp., Novo Resources, and Sandstorm Gold Limited. Regarding our sponsors today, Nolan Watson, the CEO of Sandstorm Gold, a streaming and royalty gold mining company, will be with me to talk about the explosive growth ahead for investors. Last week, we heard from Ivan Bebek of RN Resources, and he told us there will be a lot of assays coming from that company's Committee Bay project in Nunavut, as well as from the company's high-grade Homestake project in British Columbia. Most of all, I'm excited about RN's prospects on its Sombrero project in Peru that seems to have excellent prospects for a major gold-copper porphyry discovery. Well, Great Bear Resources may turn out to be my biggest winner this year among sponsors and among recommendations in my newsletter. I will be meeting with management in Vancouver next weekend. That company appears to have discovered a very high-grade gold deposit in the Red Lake District of Ontario, and it was so promising, in fact, that it brought Robert McEwen into the company as a major shareholder. For those of you who may not be aware, it was the company making Red Lake Gold Discovery, made by Robert McEwen's Goldcorp, that launched Goldcorp into the major company it is today. Could a similar discovery be in process for Great Bear? Well, time will tell, but it's certainly a very exciting story for now. Last year's big winner on this show was Novo Resources. It's been kind of quiet for Novo over the past several months, but by the time these remarks are aired, or sometime later in the week, I expect that we will hear of some bulk sample assays from the company's Comet Well or Purdy's Reward project in Australia. With some very good assays coming from those projects, this stock could well be off to the races very quickly. Peter Talman of Klondike Gold was on this show a few weeks back, and he talked about that company's massive Klondike project, where some very substantial progress and sizable bulk tonnage open pit grade assays have been reported. These are assays sufficient to start to provide a picture of a major gold discovery in the making, potentially in that Klondike site for Klondike Gold. Last but not least, a new understanding of the geology of Genesis Metals project in Quebec is providing considerable room for optimism. Management is spending valuable time working on this geological model to establish new drill targets, which I expect will be drilled sometime in the new year. The best way to own gold, the best way to own gold stocks. Well, that's the title of my show this week. Nolan Watson and Thomas Coughlin visit for the first time. Owning gold as a safe haven against risks of political or monetary mayhem is well documented. But Thomas Coughlin of the Allocated Bullion Exchange will explain why combining cryptocurrency backed by gold has advantages over holding gold in your personal safe, and how, in fact, by owning gold in the Kinesis system, you can earn a healthy yield on your gold holdings. Thomas's partner in this enterprise is whistleblower Andrew McGuire, who was a guest on the show recently. Nolan Watson is the CEO of Sandstorm Gold. He'll be with me in just a few minutes after our first commercial break. For reasons Nolan will explain, streaming and royalty companies profit handsomely from metal production, but face far less risk than standard mining companies. As such, they tend to be priced by the market at higher multiples than the norm in the mining sector. But as you will learn, Sandstorm is priced much lower than other better-known royalty companies, despite the fact that it is poised for very dramatic growth in the years to come. Both Nolan Watson and Thomas Coughlin will provide an education that is most important during a time when global economies are becoming ever more burdened with debt and when the potential for another major catastrophe, as bad or worse as that of 2008, is becoming ever more likely. So I hope you'll stick around to hear both of my guests today. We do have to go to break, but don't go away because I'll be right back with Nolan Watson.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me Nolan Watson. He is involved with the founding of Sandstorm Gold back in 2008, actually went public in 2009. Nolan has been the president, CEO, and a director of the company, has led the company's transformation from a small startup back in the day when I first met up with him into a diversified royalty company with a billion-dollar market capitalization. Prior to Sandstorm, Nolan was the CFO of Silver Wheaton Corp, which, of course, is very well known to most hard money investors and mindshare investors. Now it's Wheaton Precious Metals Corp. There he gained the experience he needed to make Sandstorm a reality and a success, and certainly it is on its way, I believe, to becoming quite a success story, which is why I'm really pleased to have Nolan with me. Thanks for joining me, Nolan.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, it's... It's really a pleasure to see your company grow as it has. I think I have the feeling that right now, it's been a long time since I've been following your company, but I have a feeling that right now should be a sweet spot for your company because it looks like there should be some very dramatic growth ahead, and I want to ask you about that. I should tell our listeners that your trade in Canada under the symbol SSL can buy it in New York, as I have, under the symbol SAND. 185 million shares. I see a 52-week high-low in Canadian currency between 695 and 462. And the company announced earnings of $700,000 in U.S. money during Q2. Nolan, before we get started discussing the very impressive portfolio and I think what looks like could be exponential growth right ahead in the next several years, perhaps you could just take a minute to tell our listeners, those that may not be familiar with streaming and royalty companies, why it's advantageous and less risky in many ways, and why those kinds of companies generally sell at higher multiples than regular straight mining companies sell at.
Yeah, I think for investors who have invested in exploration, development, and or operating mining companies, they have seen the pitfalls of doing so. Sometimes it can be rewarding, but there are a lot of risks inherent in it, and operating costs typically are higher than you expect, and production is sometimes a bit lower, and capital costs can sometimes overrun, and there can be floods, fires, there can be temporary blockages of the project, and during all of those periods of time, the mines go from what would otherwise be money-making enterprises to significant money-losing enterprises, and can catch investors off guard. Whereas a streaming and royalty company with a diversified portfolio, such as Sandstorm, we have 189 royalties around the world right now, that we're always collecting money, we're always getting money in, cash flow is always positive, and the portfolio numbers go up and down on any individual royalty, but we're just continually collecting checks all the time. And so Sandstorm is, we're actually, I think, in our eighth, coming up on ninth year of record production every single year for 9 years. And so we're able to do that just by continuing to grow a diversified portfolio of royalties.
Yeah, and you don't have to put more money back into the projects as regular mining companies do. You mentioned if you have these disadvantageous events, a lot of times the companies have to ante up for more money, but you don't have to do that. You've already taken your position in the company by providing money that helped these companies a lot of times get into production. So you mentioned you have 189 streaming and royalty assets, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how many of those are now providing cash flow to you?
Yeah, so we have 20 of them already producing. We have a significant number of them under development right now, which is the reason that if Sandstorm makes no further acquisitions in the next several years, that we anticipate production growing 130% based solely on things that we have already acquired. And so then we've got over 100 exploration royalties at various stages of exploration, and we're pretty excited about that part of the portfolio too.
This looks like the sweet spot for you because, I can remember the early days when I invested in Sandstorm. There wasn't an awful lot going on. I mean, there was a lot going on, but there wasn't. You were really building up your portfolio. And now you mention all these different projects. Not all of them are going to be successful, but a lot of them will be. I guess the downside for me as one who looks and follows companies like yours is that to get involved or try to understand each and every company, it's a daunting task. But you have quite a staff that helps you do that, that are experienced in this business and know how to analyze companies inside and out. And you do a lot of due diligence before you invest in companies. Can you tell our listeners what are your hurdles for investing? How do you determine to put money into an involving gold or silver project?
Yeah, so we have a fairly thorough process that we take assets through before we're willing to invest in them. We've got an investment committee that has to approve things and obviously a board of directors as well. But the core of that decision-making process really is, and it's part of the heart of Sandstorm, is our technical team. So we have a world-class geologist and engineers, fully paid on staff, who work with us here full-time. And all day long, they're just out there doing due diligence on things that our corporate development team has brought in and said, hey, is this something that we should invest in? And so that team is obviously going through and looking at a number of things, including quality of management and quality of ore body, and actually we will reconstruct entire resources internally inside Sandstorm rather than just trust the 43-101 reports that other management teams put out. And that's actually one of the areas where we find a lot of discrepancies. We have our own metallurgical consultants that we use and send in. We've got our own underground mining engineers, if it's an underground mine, and they'll go and assess the mining methods, and we'll reconstruct what we think the actual cost of production will be, and then we'll make a decision as to whether or not it's something that we invest in. But through that process, one of the key things, which is one of the differentiating factors of Sandstorm, is we are totally and completely uninterested in investing in anything that doesn't have a massive exploration upside. So we see a lot of our competitors trying to get deals where they think it's reasonable value given how much ore is there, even if no more ore is found, even when we don't think more ore will be found. And Sandstorm doesn't bid on those situations. We don't try to acquire those things. We're only looking for assets where we think the mine life can increase dramatically, so double, triple, quadruple, so on and so forth.
All right. Nolan, when I go to your website, you provide what you expect the number of ounces or gold equivalent ounces to be produced over the coming years. I think if I heard you correctly earlier, you said you are providing that guidance based on what you know you have right now, not all of those exploration potential, that exploration potential you just talked about, which really could provide a lot of blue sky beyond what you're projecting. But even so, what you're projecting is pretty impressive. As I look at the numbers, I think something like 60,000 ounces this year is what you're projecting, 60,000 gold equivalent ounces. Something around 70,000, I believe, between 2019 and 2021. But then 2022 to 2023, I would term it explosive growth to something like 140,000 ounces. What is in the pipeline right now that allows you to project that kind of growth?
Yeah, so that's an important distinction that you made there. If people go and download our investor presentation, I think you're referring to what would be slide 4, which is our production guidance. And you're correct. We assume zero exploration upside on that slide. This is all just baked in based on projects that are at advanced stages that we know definitively are going forward. We have a number of other royalties on projects that might be going forward in the very near future, and they are not included on this slide. So if they do go forward, then it'll be increased production. But the main things that are showing that growth between now and 2022, 2023 are a few things. One is a company called Equinox Gold. They are rebuilding a project called Orizona in Brazil. That's about 60% to complete in construction. We did a deal also a few years ago with a company called Yamana on a large gold-silver mine that they have called Cerro Moro, and we have a large silver stream that comes off of that. That silver stream kicks in for us in 2019, so there's some growth in next year for us. And then one of our real significant growth factors is a 30% net profits interest that we have on a mine called Hodemodden, and that's a large asset that we purchased last year, and it is, as far as I'm concerned, the coolest undeveloped gold mine in the world. It's an ore body that comes right to surface. It's 40 meters wide, and it's 13 grams gold equivalent on average over the entire 40 meters, and it runs several hundred meters deep into the earth, and they're going to be able to produce a significant amount of gold from that at an all-in sustaining cost of about $400 an ounce, which is unbelievable. I mean, I'm unaware of any other mine out there in the hands of a royalty company where they're producing gold all-in sustaining for under $400 an ounce.
It's hard to find anything, I must say, as I search for good investing opportunities in the mining space. It's unbelievable. It's hard to beat that. I think also I noticed that, I think this makes sense. I read somewhere that you have more meters that will be drilled, exploration drilling, on your, in the projects you're invested in than your peers or your other royalty companies. And I guess that's because, as you said a moment ago, you really look at stories not just for what they know they have now, but with great exploration potential. So your geologists are out there looking at something, I suppose, projects that have considerable scale and upside, right?
Well, exactly. For every dollar investors invest in Sandstorm, they get approximately double the meters drilled on our properties than any other streaming royalty company in the world. So the whole expiration thesis that I was talking about before, and us only investing in projects that have substantial expiration upside, that is proving out to be true just through the decisions that our partners are making about how many meters they want to drill on those properties. And so in 2017, for example, we had over 500,000 meters drilled on our properties, and in 2018 we're expecting a similar number, and which is one of the reasons why for the last 2 years straight, and we think there this may be the third year straight, we've had more gold ounces found on our properties at $0 cost to Sandstorm than have been mined on our properties, meaning that investors who invested in us got all of the cash flow during the year that we received, and at the end of the year there were still more ounces on the books than there were at the beginning of the year. And that's in a declining gold price environment, and that's even after adjusting for gold price changes and resources. So it's a pretty impressive number.
Nolan, you're looking at some of the other maybe better known streaming and royalty companies. Sandstorm seems to be selling at a lower multiple than some of those other companies. Do you attribute that in part to the fact that you're smaller and less well-known, or could there be some other factors involved? And how do you think that's going to resolve itself? Why, you know, how do you think the market's going to start to recognize the value that is implicit here and the growth that we see coming?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of reasons. Obviously, we are smaller, and so we can't be bought by some of the huge multi-billion dollar large generalist funds that need to invest, you know, $100 million at a time. So that would be one reason, but I really think the main reason is that if you actually do an analysis, a correlation between the trading multiple of a royalty company and the percentage of their portfolio that is currently in production in terms of NAV, like what percent of their NAV is producing today, and you run a regression, the R-squared is almost 0.8, which it's as close to a perfect correlation as you're going to get. And investors, especially institutional investors, unfortunately are very short-term oriented, and they don't care what your production is going to be 3 years from now. They care what your production is going to be next quarter. And so out of all the major streaming and royalty companies in the world, including Sandstorm, Sandstorm has the smallest percentage of our NAV currently in production. So whereas Franco-Nevada would be 80%, we'd be around 37%. And so if we fast forward 4 years, we will have about 80% of our NAV in production. So sometimes I joke and I say the best thing the Sandstorm could do is sit here on our hands for 4 years, do absolutely nothing, and watch our share price double or triple. Having said that, we will continue to grow, but we are cognizant of the fact that if we're patient, the trading multiple will come.
You will continue to grow. You rather enjoy seeing markets like this in which, you know, cooler markets for the gold and silver mining companies, because that provides more opportunities to pick up assets, right? And if that's still your thinking, how well funded are you to do so?
Yeah, so we're right now one of the only streaming royalty companies in the world that's debt-free, but we do have a $150 million undrawn revolving line of credit, and our banks have told us that we can increase that size of line of credit if we want to based on our cash flow profile. And so that's available to be drawn on 24 hours notice, and we can go out and make acquisitions with it, and we do plan on doing that. And we also have, obviously, a significant amount of cash flow coming in on a weekly basis here, and we can use that to continue to grow as well. One of the competing things for growth decisions is share buybacks. So we believe our share price is so undervalued. We have been buying back our shares. It was only mid last year when our share count was around 189 million shares, and we've been buying back shares, and we're down to, I think, 184 million shares at that today. So there are very few mining companies in the world that I'm aware of that are actively buying back material amounts of their own stock.
Interesting, and you're doing it without borrowing money, because so much of the share buybacks, as I'm told at least, is happening from companies that borrow money, given the low interest rates, still low interest rates, and then go out and indebt their company, jack their share price up, and maybe some of those guys are just possibly exercising their options, huh?
We definitely are doing it just from cash flow.
Sinister side of me suggests that may be going on. I guess in the last minute or two that we have left here, the Hod Maden, it's just an amazing story, as you say. Turkey, though, it seems to be some concerns about political risk at this point in time. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I guess the challenge that they're having right now is a significant devaluation of their currency, which makes the cost of operating denominated in U.S. dollars much cheaper. So The project is making the same progress it was anticipated to make for dramatically less dollars. The CapEx will be lower because of that. So from an actual cost out the door, it's a pretty good thing. There are some people out there who are, you know, leery of the current regime. I'm not particularly one of them, at least from a business perspective. The new Minister of Finance, which the international community had a challenge with because it's Erdogan's son-in-law, his job before going into government was CEO of our partner company. So our partner company is very well tied into the government, and we don't really see the political risk as it relates to Hod Maden the way it might apply to other companies or other things.
I have to think that may be one of the things that is holding your share price down a little bit, but who knows for sure. But it's really an exciting story. I must say I think this is one that I want to highlight a little bit more in my newsletter for my subscribers as well, because of the virtues of the lower risk at a time when the market hasn't yet really caught on to the kind of growth profile that seems to be in the future for you. And is there anything else you'd like to add before we conclude our discussion today?
No, I think that's the key. I'm just excited for the first time in Sandstorm's history to be in a place where we have both massive growth and significant cash flow and diversification, and be buying back our own shares and be buying other royalties. So it's a fun time.
It is a fun time. Thank you, Nolan, for being with us. We're very thankful that you spent the time to explain this story to my listeners and to my subscribers as well. Thank you very much, and we'll look to do it again sometime, hopefully.
Well, sounds good. Thanks, Jay.
All right. Thank you. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now. Don't go away, though. Thomas Coughlin, the CEO of Allocated Bullion Exchange, will be here to talk to us about ways that you can invest in gold, blockchain-attached gold. In fact, it sounds interesting. I don't really understand it very well. Hope to learn more, so don't go away. We'll be right back with Thomas Coughlin.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdes Reward Project. In addition, Noble has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Noble is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time Thomas Coughlin. Thomas is the Chief Executive Officer of Allocated Bullion Exchange, and he has worked in the investment funds management and bullion industries for approximately 15 years. His professional portfolio management career spans the foundation of a boutique investment company, Track Financial, to the establishment of a highly successful absolute return fund. And Thomas has dedicated a significant part of his career working collaboratively to build the complex system of a cross-border international bullion market with an extensive global network of central bankers, brokers, fund managers, and advisors. His experience, extensive network, and broad knowledge of capital markets have enabled him to deliver exceptional value and insights to all the stakeholders. Thank you for joining me today, Thomas.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Jack.
Really, very interesting and timely, of course, I believe, given the travails of the global monetary system. And I know there's a lot of innovations now using modern technology to try to provide more efficient means of transactions and a safer means of storing wealth and a safer monetary system, because Lord knows the financial system has not been repaired since 2008, 2009. But you have something new, and what we want to learn today is what the Kinesis monetary system is all about. And I guess people can learn more about your product, about your service at kinesis.money. Is that right, Thomas?
That's correct, yes. That's our website. Plenty of information on there as well.
A lot of information there, and we want to get into to that as much as possible within the next 20 minutes or so. First of all, is the Kinesis monetary system, is that a product of Allocated Bullion Exchange? Is that out of that corporation?
Basically, the team that developed ABX, so Allocated Bullion Exchange, also developed Kinesis, and we at Kinesis have inherited all the technological development that has been done by ABX over the years since it was founded in 2011. All the expertise, I guess, and relationships and partnerships that were built in the precious metals industry at the institutional level, but also basically going downstream to the retail customer as well. And, so to answer your question, yes, it was born from the team. ABX doesn't own Kinesis, but the team developed it.
Could you take just a few seconds to talk about Allocated Bullion Exchange? Just a little bit of a background. How long have they been in business, and what is the company about?
So, ABX is a institutional spot physical exchange for precious metals. It's a global market as well. So we offer basically trade and in connecting buyers and sellers all around the world in our 7 different vaults, and we're rolling that out to be 9 different vaults shortly. But, it's been built out to be, it's an institutional exchange, so it's full sort of like institutional grade everything, the architecture, the infrastructure. It's all institutional grade, just like, I guess, the New York Stock Exchange, but for precious metals.
I see. But Kinesis is going to also be for very much involved for the retail people, I guess.
That's correct, yeah. So, I mean, the other thing with ABX, it's a centralized market, so it stands in the middle of every trade. Whereas what Kinesis is, it's adopting the blockchain, which ultimately connects end party with the next end party through the blockchain network, which I'm happy to explain.
I want you to do that, but in a summary explanation on the Kinesis monetary website, it sort of summarizes the system. You suggest that it is an evolutionary gold standard, and then you talk about Kinesis as being an asset-backed digital currency combining blockchain, as you said, technology with gold and silver. First of all, as a person who doesn't know very much about blockchain or cryptocurrencies and things like that, for the benefit of me as well as my listeners, can you explain what blockchain is?
Certainly. Yeah, sure. So, ultimately, the way that I see the blockchain working and the benefits that it provide, it's electronic network whereby it breaks down so many different barriers to entry all around the world. Suddenly, someone on one part of the world, let's take New York, can immediately connect with, say, someone in Istanbul or someone in Sydney without knowing who they are, without needing to have that understanding or trust, and connect with them anonymously and understand that the trade will be settled or transaction settled if they engage in that transaction. So it's an amazing technology whereby it facilitates basically it's called a trustless system. This trade all around the world with different people all around the world breaks down all borders, all barriers to entry, and connects everyone together and peer to peer. So where exchanges normally operate, they have like a clearinghouse that sits in the middle, which like guarantees the good delivery of a trade. Whereas through this system, we can go back to basically, you know, bilateral trade and all connect up with one another and understand that 100% the trade will be settled. So that's what the amazing thing of it is. And, you know, the new technology coming out and the new networks coming out are highly efficient, highly efficient on speed, but also cost as well. So it's really disruptive towards obviously the banking system and the incumbent monetary system as well, because you no longer have to wait sort of like 2 days or even up to 5 days for your money to clear through basically the global banking system. Say for example with us, it's 2 to 5 seconds transaction settlement times, and each of our blockchain networks handles a minimum of 3,000 transactions per second. So it's highly efficient.
It's highly efficient, and though what I think makes this blockchain product that you're talking about, the Kinesis monetary system, different from some is that it's attached, as I understand it, and this is a bit mysterious to me, it's attached to, you know, blockchain we can't see or touch, but it's attached to something that is very tangible, like gold or silver, as I understand it, right?
That's correct. So, I mean, we've focused in on being secure, efficient, and rewarding, both for every participant's like individual benefit, but also for the benefit of our network collectively. So, I mean, what we've ultimately done is focused in on what makes money successful. I mean, this is really the sort of vision and passion behind it all. I'm a bit of a monetary historian myself. And this was actually really the vision of seeing change in the monetary system, which drove the foundation of ABX as well. And what I see as making money, and no, it's not what I see, it's if you look back through history, what the primary principles are that makes money successful is, one, it needs to be an efficient medium of exchange. And this is really what the blockchain has done. It's done it in a transparent and secure way as well. So everything's transparent. You can see everything going on in the blockchain by logging on in the internet or whatever, and you see it all. And so the new modern day innovative technology has improved the efficiency of the medium of exchange element. We at Kinesis, we've also integrated into the incumbent banking system as well, with our debit cards, with online banking facilities and that sort of thing. But also, we've also really focused on the other major element that makes money successful, and that's effective store of value. And the greatest store of value that the world's ever seen is gold, and silver as well. So throughout the ages, gold's held its value. It's been relatively stable, and it's effectively incorruptible. There's no debt attached to it or anything like that. So we've just taken gold and silver and basically put it into the blockchain and into monetary units. So it's what we offer is actually just divisible units of gold and divisible units of silver. And it's physical and sitting in the vaults, and it's utilizing tried and tested secure facilities and quality assured facilities that ABX offers. So, and there's a third dimensional element which goes beyond any monetary system or platform out there, any kind of currency platform, and that revolves around this incentivized yield system. So we have... The theory behind it all is this. Well, one, everyone is rewarded for participating in our system in one way or another, whether it be actively or passively. And we understand that we had to defeat a principle called Gresham's Law to be a successful currency. Basically, when presented with choice of using one currency over another currency, then we wanted to incentivize the use of our currency. So, for example, if I have the choice of using US dollars to buy my coffee, or I have the choice of Kinesis to buy my coffee, then I want the choice to be Kinesis. So basically we put together this multifaceted yield system whereby people entering the system are rewarded and then people using the money in the system are rewarded. So we focused in attracting capital in and then basically putting it into motion. So getting people to use it. And that's really where our name comes from, Kinesis. Kinesis in Greek means movement. I really like the biological definition of it, which is undirectional movement from stimulus, because that really sums us up and also contrasts us against the existing monetary and banking system, which is basically, it's very directional, the money movements. It comes out from the central bank, goes through the commercial banks, lent out, and basically, you know, goes back in the same way that it came. It's very directional now. We see ourselves as being a fair and honest system, which everyone is treated the same, ultimately, and rewarded according to their own participation within the system.
Mm-hmm. Thomas, let me just ask you, you know, this reminds me a little bit of gold money. I happen to have an account with gold money. I buy a little bit of gold, I keep it there, and if I want to, I can sell the gold and buy dollars and put it on my prepaid, on my debit card, my debit MasterCard, or actually a Visa. Then I take it to the restaurant and I use it and I spend my dollars. My thinking there is, why in the world do I want to sell my gold, especially now when it's so low? Why do I want to sell my gold and buy dollars? Why not spend the dollars that I have in my pocket and not spend gold? But as I understand it, you are providing an incentive for people to want to get rid of their fiat currency, buy your KVGs, KVTs they're called, I guess, the units of that you call your, is that what you call your?
No, the ticker codes for our gold and silver backed currencies are KAU and KAG.
Right, AU for gold and KVG for silver.
Mm-hmm. Correct,
right.
Yes.
And so I think you were explaining why, if I were owning some KAU or KAG, why I might not want to do what I'm doing with my gold money, a Visa card, that is not selling the gold or not using it. Do I sell the gold and have to buy a currency when I load my debit card under your system?
As far as the mechanics of our system goes, everything is streamlined and automated. So if you were to utilize our debit card, then you could be holding, say, you could be holding your money in basically lots of different currencies, should you wish, or you could just be holding it in Kinesis, and it makes sense to be holding it in Kinesis because our yield system should reward you for doing so with a yield which will be a multiple of any other bank deposit. It should be, at least. And if you are, and you go to a merchant and you spend, then there'll be actually just an automatic conversion done to the native currency of the merchant within the system, because we basically have set up all the mechanics to be able to do that. We have an exchange embedded in there in the blockchain whereby it will automatically basically convert, say, Kinesis into the native currency. And so as you spend, you actually don't have to top up anything. Like, so say if you're, you know, spending in US dollars, you don't need to transfer money to a US dollar account and then spend. You could hold everything in Kinesis should you wish, and you just spend and go around the world like a global card, using it in any different currency. As far as, yeah, what you were saying, like, why would you use Kinesis? So you don't want to spend gold at this point in time. You'd prefer to spend your US dollars, and this goes back to Gresham's Law, where money drives out good. If you basically, you know, make an investment decision to hold gold, or you favor gold for its value over US dollars, then effectively, why would you want to spend that gold? You value it higher than US dollars. What we've done is tried to defeat that concept by creating this incentivized yield system. So you can hold gold in our system, but also if it comes to actually, you know, paying for a transaction, you're rewarded for it, whereas you're not rewarded for using US dollars. Once you spend it, it's spent, it's gone. Whereas with us, we'll actually provide benefit to actually use our currency, and I'm happy to explain that because it's an entirely new concept that actually might take a little bit for people.
Yeah, I think, Thomas, unfortunately, we don't have time probably to get into the various mechanics of your yield, but you have mentor yield, depositor's yield, holder yield, recruiter yield. That's explained on your website. We just don't have, I mean, it would get too much time, I think, but people should check it out because this I think this changes things. So there'd be no need for me to go and get online and sell my gold and buy dollars before I load my debit card. I could just take my Kinesis account and use my debit card, and then it would sell the gold and change the currencies. I don't have to do that step. And then, as I understand it, then there is a reason why I would want to spend my gold in your system, whereas there is no reason in the gold money system.
Yeah, that's correct. So, I mean, under the Minter yield, the people create their own currency. So you swap your money in, and then you create your own currency, and then once you send, spend, or sell it, then you actually start to receive a yield. So first you have to use it to actually get a yield, and the yield's very attractive. Basically, it's a sharing of the transaction fees. That's how our yield works. So it's non-debt-based. It's a complete sharing of the transaction fees. Yeah.
A couple more questions with the time we have left yet. It's my understanding that your gold or silver, your KAU or your KAG, would be allocated. It's stored somewhere, and it's stored, I think you mentioned, 7 or 9 different vaults, different countries, different locations around the world, where the allocated bullion exchange stores this gold. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And so it is allocated. That is J. Taylor's gold. It's there, sitting there for me somewhere.
It's 100% allocated. So we will have basically a transactional currency for gold and silver. Now, the way that works is it's allocated title to, like, the end user, the ultimate beneficial owner. But it's in divisible units. So, but what it is, it's allocated physical gold and allocated physical silver, basically, but put in, like, currency divisibility to effectively monetize it. We also have wholesale contracts in there, as we call them, which are allocated and segregated. So this is where you actually buy, like, whole bars of for gold. It's like a 100-gram bar or a kilo bar. And you actually got the serial numbers and everything and the hallmark, the brand. So, yeah, it's all allocated 100%.
Yeah, that's a very important aspect. Just give me an idea. Let's say I go to a restaurant and I spend my debit card and I use, I have a party and I spend $500 for a few of my friends, and we have them go to a very nice restaurant in New York and we spend $500. What might I get back in terms of a yield on that? And is the yield paid in gold or silver?
It's paid according to the currency that you use. So say if you're holding it in silver, then you'll get paid in silver. If you're holding it in gold, you'll get paid in gold. And so if once before you spend your money, you will be receiving the holder's yield, which acts just like a bank deposit. But after you receive it, and if you minted that currency, you will receive basically a sharing of the transaction fees. So the way that it works is if you spend $500, then that is calculated at a proportional rate to all other money spent in the system, and then you get a portion of the fees back. The thing is, it's all based on velocity. And say, for example, I mean, currency is the most liquid asset in all of the world. Like, it's ultimately money, and money's moving constantly. You'll give $20 to someone, they'll give it to someone else, and it might even change hand 10 times in a day. For US dollars, the daily velocity rate of the monetary supply is 38%. And you wouldn't know it, but 38% of all money out there is changing hands every single day. So we've taken a much more conservative figure and then built out yields around that. And say, for example, for the holder, based on like a 30% velocity rate, which it's entirely possible for us to get to because we're incentivizing velocity. They'll receive about a 9.5% yield per year. But for an active minter who is, it's something that you can do. You can create the currency, basically just buy gold. It gets emitted into the blockchain, decentralized system, and then sell it and then revolve your capital, should you wish, and you build up a larger and larger share of the transaction fees out there to basically benefit from. And what that means, you gain a yield forever. So that money that you spent, that sits in the system, and the system understands that you spent that, and you'll receive a sharing of the transaction fees in the entire system forever.
As it continues to turn over, Thomas, as it continues, the velocity. Okay, just really limited amount of time left here yet. I need to ask you tax implications. So, for example, in the United States, if I buy gold and use it to buy, and the value of the gold goes up, I have to pay Uncle Sam a portion of that gain that I made. That's just the law, the way it is. So what about accountability of gains and losses in this system? Is it something the system provides, or is it something incumbent on me as a user of the system to keep track of?
Okay, so yeah, I mean we're not responsible for your tax obligation, so
for accounting of gains or losses, right?
No, of course, and that's not our responsibility. That's really your responsibility, and we're not tax advisors either. But the system will provide all necessary information for you to uphold any of your tax responsibilities. To be able to, calculate all of that. And, with regards to our solution it being a monetary system, then that's something that your users need to take tax advice on from their accountant.
Okay, so with just about a minute left here, maybe summing up, do you need a maximum? Is there a certain amount of money you need? What do you need to really to get started at all, and maybe put your big toe in the water to check out the system and see if it's something you want to add more to over time?
Certainly. So, we just opened our public sale for the Kinesis Velocity tokens, and this is really the capital raising token, which allows people to get invested in the success of our system for the future. And feel to be part of the system, and we've now raised over $55 million worth, and that's the first logical step. And then in November, we open investment up to gold and silver currencies, and actually participation in the system. But if you like what you hear, then join us on our website, have a look, do your own research, and please feel free to participate in our Kinesis Velocity token.
It's really a very interesting concept. I think, these things take time for people to become comfortable with. Maybe one last word. How can you assure people that, there's been a lot of frauds and things that have gone wrong in the past. How can you assure people, take a minute if you need to tell our listeners why they should feel safe in participating?
Sure. Well, the first thing that I think that should bring comfort and confidence in our system to your listeners is the fact that it's the team at ABX, a company founded in 2011 with an unblemished track record, have built out, and we're utilizing the ABX system, ultimately, for the storage of the metals and the end trade of the metals as well, as they're basically the physical handling of them. And they're stored in secure vaults all around the world, which are operated by basically the most reputable third-party vaulting providers. There's a quality assurance framework which requires, you know, multiple layers of audit and verification. And ultimately, the trade that goes through Kinesis, it operates on the blockchain, a highly transparent and secure system, whereby you know what you think you're getting, you are getting. And that's really the way that it works, and that's the powerful thing with the blockchain.
We'll have to leave it go at that, Thomas. Thank you so much for taking your time to explain this to us. Really interesting concept. I know it was first introduced to us by your colleague, Andrew McGuire, and I wish you all the best on this, and I certainly want to check it out and learn more about it, and perhaps we can have an update sometime in the future. Thank you so much for being with us today. Folks, that is all the time we have for this week, but next week I expect to have Alistair McLeod with us again, Nav Dhaliwal of Bontero Resources, and hopefully Michael Oliver as well. Until then, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Often referred to as one of the best teams in junior gold exploration, having discovered a 5 million ounce gold mine and sold a second company amidst discovery, the management behind Orin Resources now has a world-class exploration portfolio within Canada and Peru, projects that give the company one of the largest direct pipelines for major discoveries globally, with one of the deepest technical teams to explore them. Entering into its third year of aggressive pursuit, Orin is expecting results from two of their major projects throughout the rest of this year. For the latest, head to orinresources.com and subscribe.